Luke chapter 13, verses 22 all the way to 24a. This is the reading of God's Word. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. And someone said to him, Lord, are there just a few who are being saved? And he said to them, strive to enter through the narrow door. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this precious time of hearing your word. We pray that you will grant us an ear to hear your word. Let us truly hear your voice through your word, so our faith will grow and will be more like your Son. Through your word, let us have that sweet fellowship with our Lord Jesus Christ. And through your word, let us see what our Lord has already done and accomplished for us. So let us rejoice and give you all the glory and thanksgiving. And Father, we pray that your word will be preached correctly and all of us will hear your word so our faith will grow and that Jesus Christ will be exalted. Receive all the glory. We thank you. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, last time we saw our Lord Jesus Christ teaching the characteristic of the kingdom of God through two parables. And those parables taught us that the kingdom of God is growing. It grows exactly according to God's plan. It is small at the beginning, but it grows and becomes a tree. And the birds of the air nested in its branches. And we come to verse 22. And we see that Jesus continues his journey toward Jerusalem. And on his way to Jerusalem, he continues to teach and witness the reality of kingdom of God through his teaching and his works. He witnesses the reality of him accomplishing the kingdom of God. So we begin verse 22 today. And he was passing through from one city and village to another, teaching and proceeding on his way to Jerusalem. Luke, starting from chapter 9, continues to tell us that Jesus is going towards Jerusalem. Why? Because he came to die. He's going to Jerusalem to die. He is going there to die on the cross, bearing his people's sin. In order to accomplish the kingdom of God, the wages of his people's sins must be paid, and the perfect righteousness must be fulfilled. We've been saying this all along. Jesus came to accomplish the kingdom of God. He came to live the righteous life for his people, and he came to pay in full the wages of his people's sin. Now, Luke chapter 13, verse 22, all the way to verse 30 is one unit. But we will focus on the first part of verse 24 today. And next time, we will look at the whole unit from verse 22 through 30. Now, verse 24a says, strive to enter through the narrow door. We're going to look at this today. We're going to look at the life of striving to enter through the narrow door in a general way today. And next time, We'll look at that in terms of the whole unit. Now, verse 23 says, "And someone said to him, 'Lord, are there just a few who are being saved?'" It's interesting, huh? Because Wednesday night Bible study, we kind of dealt with that question. But here we are with this question. Are there just a few who are being saved? Well, someone asked this question, but Luke doesn't tell us who, so that Jesus' answer will be answer to all of us. Jesus does not give him a direct answer, but he says, strive to enter through the narrow door. Are there just a few who are being saved? But Jesus says to him, strive to enter through the narrow door. He is in fact saying that whether the number of those who are saved is big or small, that's not important. What is important is that you and I, we strive to enter through the narrow door. But we have to think about this a little bit. Are there just a few who are being saved? Just like what I have said, Jesus does not give a direct answer. But first thing that we must remember is that this question comes from the mindset of the Old Testament. This question comes from the mindset that believes that the whole of the Israelites, thus not any significant number of Gentiles, will be saved. They actually believe the whole Israel will be saved. But see, this person who asked that question, understanding that whole Israelites will be saved, but after observing what Jesus has said so far and what he has done, it seems to this person that not a great number of Israelites will be saved. Thus, this question. I mean, just remember what Jesus said to Israelites, Jews, especially those who were considered good believers. In today's language, good Christians. So it confused this guy, this person. I don't know if it's a guy or a girl, But again, Jesus does not give a direct answer. But we know from the Bible that compared to the whole population at any time, the number of believers were always smaller than the number of non-believers. And this pattern repeated throughout the redemptive history. During the Noah's flood, only 8 were saved. I mean, compared to people who are not saved, only 8. Very small number. And out of all those who came out of Egypt, Bible says 600,000 men over 20 years old. 600,000 men, and there are probably 600,000 women, and at least 600,000 children. So about 2 million came out. But 600,000 men over 20 years old, only 2 people went into the promised land. Very small number. And of course, so many second generation went into the promised land. But they too rebelled against God and disobeyed God. Thus, they were kicked out of the promised land later. So the number of the remnant, those who are saved, always so small compared to the number of the population at any time. And when you read the Old Testament, that's what you will see. That pattern just continues. Jesus says in Matthew 7, verse 14, "For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it." So it doesn't answer directly, but you could kind of sense the numbers are not that great. Matthew 22, verse 14, "For many are called, but few are chosen." And Bible tells us that the number of the true believers will be small as the time for our Lord's return nears. Luke chapter 18, verse 8b, "However, when the Son of Man comes, will He find faith on the earth?" Will Jesus find true faith on the earth? Again, it gives you that sense. It will be a very small number. Now, all this does not mean that the number of the inhabitants of heaven is small. From the creation all the way to Jesus' return, many people were saved. So, Revelation chapter 7, verse 9, "After these things I looked, and behold, a great multitude, which no one could count, from every nation and all tribes and peoples and tongues, and standing before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed in a white robe, and palm branches were in their hand." Did you hear that phrase? A great multitude which no one could count. So when Jesus returns and when we are gathered into His kingdom, starting from Adam, many people got saved. So when we look at the whole population of heaven, it is great, great number. But there are many, many passages that tells us at any given time in history, when you compare people who are saved and people who are not saved, when you compare those two numbers, people who are saved is very small. That is why we're being persecuted. Because we are small in number. And this Bible gives a symbolical number, 144,000, to refer to the number of the citizens of heaven. That number, we believe, comes out because 12 tribes of the Old Testament, representing the Old Testament people of God, so that 12 multiplied by 12 apostles of the New Testament, representative of Christian people, it comes out to 144. Then that number multiplied by 1,000, meaning many. So the great multitude is the size of the citizens of heaven altogether. But when we just talk about our life, where we live in this age and time, the number of God's people are small compared to the whole population. Well, anyway, our focus is next verse, "Strive to enter through the narrow door." Strive to enter through the narrow door. It describes a Christian life narrowed. That's the key word, narrow door. And I pray all of you as a Christian that you understand this, that your life is a narrow life. You cannot do the things that the world just does, because your life is very narrow. That's the characteristic of Christian life. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14 explains in more detail. Enter through the narrow gate. Instead of door, Matthew says gate. Enter through the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. So I don't have to explain too much here. You could see it. It's pretty clear what kind of life that we must live as a Christian. See, there is a narrow gate and there is a wide gate. The narrow gate leads to life, but the wide gate leads to destruction. Jeremiah chapter 21, verse 8, you shall also say to this people, thus says the Lord, behold, I set before you the way of life and the way of death. Again, two ways. There is the way of life and there is the way of death. And this is what you must remember. There are only two. There is no middle way. Either life or death. That's it. So many churchgoers, they try to find the middle way. Not fully devoted to Christ, but they say, no, I'm not of the world either. At this time, I'm kind in the middle. That's where you are confused. You're not in the middle. You are way on the other side. God does not allow middle ground. There's only way to life or way to death. There's no middle. Either you're a son of God or you're a son of Satan. There's no neutral ground. Oh, everybody think that, no, I'm not of Satan, but I'm not fully devoted to God either. Well, then you are of Satan if you're not devoting your life to God. Either you're God's son or you're Satan's son. But God's son, we don't live a perfect life, but when we sin, we repent. The middle ground guy who's confused, he doesn't repent. But over and over again, Bible tells us there's only two ways. Psalm 1 verse 6, for the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Again, just two. The way of righteous and the way of the wicked. The characteristics of the life that belongs to heaven. Narrow door and the narrow way. According to Matthew, not just the door, but the way after you enter the door. It means that it is narrow at the beginning and it continues to be narrow all the way to end. It's not you just enter the narrow gate and after that it's so wide. And some churchgoers, they live life like that. In the beginning, they understand it's a narrow door, but after they think they become Christian, they could just do whatever they want now. No, it's a narrow door and narrow way behind it. It's never wide. Never. Until we get to heaven. I think about this a lot. Because I know a lot of us, our life is not that easy. And your parents, their life is not that easy. And, you know, do I then, knowing that you are going through so much difficult time, do I have pity on you? I just can't do that. That's why you might feel, oh, Pastor Kim is so cold. He doesn't get how difficult life can be. But I trust God and His Word. And according to His Word, I cannot have pity on you. You are God's son. And you, as your inheritance, you have God and His kingdom as yours. And God is working in you. He will never forsake you. And He will perfect you. So how can I have pity on you? That's why I could say what I'm saying. Christians, enter the narrow gate and continue to walk on that narrow way. You will make it. God promised. Yeah, so next time you feel I'm so cold when it comes to your situation, try to understand. I don't want to baby you. Because you are not a baby. You are adult Christian. God's son. Grown-up son, because we're living in the New Testament. But what I decided is be cold when I'm speaking to everybody and be very warm when I'm one-on-one. So that's what I have decided. But what I'm saying here is this, that expect narrow gate and narrow way. That's God's design. It's going to be difficult to live as a Christian. The life that the citizens of heaven live in this world is not that easy. It is very hard, actually. Especially if you do your best to show that you are truly Christian. Oh, if nobody knows you're Christian because you don't even show that, well, then your life is not going to be difficult. Oh, they will have no problem accepting you because you say the same thing, you do the same thing. So what's the problem? But it's when you insist what the Bible says. Oh, hate will come. Yes, you go to some job interview. Everything is going so well, and they ask you, can you work on Lord's Day? You say, no. It's over. You have to turn around and go home. It's a very narrow way. There are so much sufferings and persecutions. There are difficult times, So this narrow door and a narrow way, it is a lonely door and a lonely way. Few find it. Few. So it's kind of lonely. John chapter 16, verse 33, these things I have spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation. But take courage, I have overcome the world. Acts 14, 22, be through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. 2 Timothy 3, 12, indeed all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will be persecuted. Will be persecuted. Not may be persecuted, but will be. God promises. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 and 13, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing. So when something, when your life all of a sudden becomes difficult, don't be surprised. Don't think that strange thing is happening. It's God's design. It will happen. And Jesus said it so often, Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, he who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He who has found his life will lose it. And he who has lost his life for my sake will find it. Now, what kind of life those verses describe? Sometimes you have to forsake your own family just to stay faithful to Christ. Matthew 16, verse 24, then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, and whoever loses his life for me, for my sake, will find it. The narrow way, the way of denying ourselves, the way of carrying our crosses, the way of forsaking this world. Luke chapter 9, verse 57, and they were going along the road. Someone said to Jesus, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. I do not even have a place to lay my head. Will you still follow me? Yes, it is a truly a narrow door and a narrow way. But the question that I want to put to you, but is it truly worthy door and worthy way? It is. Why? Because it is the door to heaven. It is the way to heaven. It is the door to Jesus. It is the way to Jesus. What we do, what do we gain, what do we gain through the narrow door and the narrow way? It is the door and the way to lose this world, but it is the door and the way to gain Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 3, verse 8, more than that, I count all things to be lost in the view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but rubbish so that I may gain Christ. Christian life is difficult. It's not a game. If you think that you could just kind of fake it here and fake it there, it's not going to work. And we're not sugarcoating this. We're not just saying, oh, it will be okay. No, it's going to be difficult. But is it worth it? Of course it is. That's why Jesus says, strive to enter through the narrow door. I mean, if it is easy life, why do we need to strive to enter? The word strive, before I give you a definition of it, first, understand the word strive is a God's command. You have to obey. It's not something you could obey or you may not obey. No, you have to. Strive. The Greek word for that strive, that word, it is a word that is used to describe what an athlete does. Or maybe this is more easier for you to understand. The word agonize came from that word. Much suffering and anguish. Strive to enter through the narrow door. Second Timothy chapter 4, verse 7, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. That word, I have fought the good fight. I have strived the good fight. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 25, everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. An athlete competes in the games, meaning everyone who strives in the game. So the word strive, it is this level of fighting and competing, agonizing. Now, is this teaching us the salvation by works? I mean, of course not. No matter how much we fight and compete, we cannot be saved by our own works. But at the same time, you have to understand, Calvinism does not mean that it's just automatic. We must give every effort, striving to enter the narrow door. Again, this is God's command. Let us think a bit here. When it comes to evangelism, when you go share the gospel with your friends, should we preach the wide door and wide way? What did Jesus say? For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few who find it. So don't be surprised when only few respond to your sharing the true gospel. Even so, we cannot preach the wide door and the wide way just to gain more numbers to come to church. But when very small numbers respond to your sharing the gospel, do not be discouraged. This is God's purpose. It is His design. See, our purpose is to share the true gospel. How many truly respond is all up to God. The true gospel is narrow. Thus, what we believe and what we accept are also narrow. That's why we just cannot allow and tolerate all things that happens in the church. We just can't. Because it's narrow gate and narrow way. It's not that we don't love people. You know, when we preach narrow way, then they're going to say you have no love because the word tolerance. And what they really mean is let's tolerate sin. That's what they're saying. We can't do that. We cannot tolerate sin. It's not the issue of loving them or not loving them. It's all about following our God. And we will not tolerate sin. It's not okay. That's what people want to hear. It's okay. No, it's not okay. It's not okay to sin. And we cannot have any confidence constantly sinning without repentance that we're okay. Oh, we will sin. We're not saying we're going to be perfect, but every time you sin, you repent. And it's a narrow way. You and I, we must be as narrow as the Bible. That's it. And when we are narrow as the Bible, people will say all kinds of things, but it doesn't matter. Bible already tells us we're going to be lonely. The narrow door and the narrow way. Obviously, this was the life of Jesus Christ. He truly had in the world the tribulations. He was persecuted much. He suffered much. He himself carried the cross and obeyed the Father to the point of death. He, for us, gave his life. He truly denied himself. He truly did not have a place to lay his head. He, to gain us, lost all things, even his life. He forsook the world. He truly depended upon, only upon his Father. He truly lived the life of the narrow door and narrow way. So to strive to enter the narrow door is to imitate our Lord Jesus Christ. It is to participate in the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we must understand and know the narrow door and the narrow way are not just the life that our Lord Jesus Christ lived, but Jesus himself is the narrow door and narrow way. John chapter 10, verse 7, so Jesus said to them again, truly, truly, I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. I am the door. If anyone enters through me, he will be saved and will go in and out and find pasture. John chapter 14, verse 6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through me. Do you see it then? Jesus is the narrow door and the narrow way. Thus the life of striving to enter the narrow door is the life in Jesus Christ and the life that is centered on Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must strive to enter the narrow door. So first, we must believe that we have already in Christ entered the narrow door and walking on the narrow way.
This is the difference, brothers and sisters. I don't want you to right now saying, okay, I hear you, Pastor Kim. I'll do my best to go into the narrow door. That's not the response I want. That is not the response of the what the Bible wants. First thing, you must respond. I believe that I have already entered the narrow door. That's your reality as a Christian. You must believe first. Very, very important, brothers and sisters. If you're a Christian, Bible tells you that you are already entered the narrow door and narrow way. So only way and the door that is for you is a narrow one. Period. There's no other options if you're a Christian. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction, and there are many who enter through it. Just because many do, that does not mean it is correct. Just because everybody does it, it does not mean it's right. That's how the world will argue. Everybody is doing it. Who cares? Even if you are the only one who will not do it, then let it be. Wide and the broad, it will lead to destruction. Don't follow the majority. Who cares what majority says? We care what Bible says. Do you understand? We don't care what the majority says. Unless that's what the Bible says also. I have to remind you, Christianity is not democracy. It's a kingship. We do what the king says. That's it. The majority must not win. God must win. The Bible must win. We follow the Bible. We follow Jesus Christ. We live in Christ. We live by faith in Jesus Christ. Even if all others do differently, we must follow Jesus. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life, and there are few find it. You and I have in Christ already entered the narrow door. There are not many with us. I hope you already noticed that. There are not many with us. But you and I, we are together. But more importantly, Jesus is with us. And that's all that matters. Yes, we might feel lonely, but let us remember that our Lord Jesus Christ is with us. And when He was accomplished our salvation, He was alone. At least we have few who are with us. Jesus was all alone. He knows what it means to be lonely. Let us never forget that at the end of this narrow door and the narrow way, at the end of it, we will see our Lord Jesus Christ face to face. And end of it, there is glory waiting for us. There is heaven waiting for us. That narrow door, the heavenly banquet hall, and heavenly wedding hall are behind it. Jesus is there waiting for you and waiting for me. We must strive to enter the narrow gate all throughout our lives. Not that we enter once and that is it, but we must continue to enter all throughout our lives this narrow way. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is why you guys are so precious to me. Because you are those that few who are with me. And I'm so happy that you are. Remember, even if nobody understands what you go through, Jesus does. And He will not leave you or forsake you. Let us keep on striving to enter the narrow door and narrow way. It is worth it. And in chapter 14, when we get there, Jesus will ask us or command us to calculate the value of it. He will ask you to come to a decision whether this narrow way is worth your life, is worth you losing everything in the world. And there He will say to you, if you don't think it's worth it, then don't come. Jesus is not begging you to come. Oh, again, I sound so cold. But I cannot see in the Bible Jesus begging us. Calculate. And if you think the way to destruction is more worthy of way of this narrow door, well then go there. But if you think the narrow way is more worthy, well, let us put our effort together. And let us continue striving to enter that narrow door. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You that You have made us Your people who have already entered the narrow door and who are already walking on that narrow way. But Father, we hear Your voice through Your word. We need to continue to strive to enter that narrow door all the way to heaven. Because it is difficult life, and yet it is so precious, so worthy. Oh God, we thank You that You have made us this kind of people. We love You, God. Pray all this in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.